Went out to lunch a few days ago at a neighborhood restaurant. Nice place, nice restaurant, kind of fancy. And when I go to a restaurant by myself, I don't sit at a table. That's pathetic. I mean, I know you can do that, and I know people do that. They sit at tables by themselves, but usually, you know, if there's an onlooker and they see somebody sitting at a table at a restaurant by themselves, either they should be waiting for someone to join them, or what's wrong with their life? So I don't sit at a table by myself. I sit at the bar. Even if I don't want to have a drink, I sit at the bar because that's where people that are there by themselves usually sit. So I walk into this place at 11:30 in the morning. I'm hungry. 11:30 is when these restaurants open for the most part. And I go right up to the bar, and there's like 20 seats at the bar. They're totally empty. I'm the first one in the restaurant. And I sit down at a seat in the bar somewhere around the middle, you know, of all the seating. And I'm sitting there, and the bartender comes over and says, how are you today? And I respond by saying, I don't know. Anyway, she says, would you like a drink? And I say, yeah. And give me a menu. I'm very, very hungry. And I'm sitting there and I'm purveying the menu. Then I look over to the front door of the restaurant and this man comes walking in. Businessman. In a suit, tie, businessman. It's a fancy type restaurant, okay? I like fancy type restaurants. Call me crazy. This guy comes walking in. He's wearing glasses. You know, he just looks like a normal businessman. He comes walking in and obviously he's in there by himself. And he's walking toward the bar, and I'm saying to myself, well, you know, 20 seats at the bar, have a good time. And he's walking, and he's walking like in to the area that I'm sitting in by myself, nobody else at the bar. And I start saying to myself, don't sit near me, don't sit near me, don't sit near me, don't sit near me, don't sit near me. There's 20 seats at the bar. Don't come in my direction. I don't know you. What are you doing? The guy walks up to I'm sitting in the seat. He pulls out a chair 2 seats away from me. 20 seats at the bar. He pulls out a chair only 2 seats away from me. There's me. There's the seat. And this guy's pulling out the next seat. And I says, what are you doing? There's 20 seats here. Why are you sitting next to me? Why are you sitting so close to me? He pulls out the chair, he sits down, he situates himself. The bartender walks over to him, practically sitting next to me, and says, good afternoon, would you like a menu? And he's going to sit there and he's going to have lunch 2 seats away from me. What are you doing? That's when I realized either there's something wrong with him or there's something wrong with me. And I'm starting to lean toward the me part. What is it about people? I guess we can define people in two different ways. He's one of them. I'm the other. There's people that love, they're like a pack of dogs. They love to be among other people. They can't exist without having another human being very, very close by. That makes them feel comfortable. Me, I'm the opposite. I can't exist with people too close to me. I so much felt like saying, excuse me, sir, I don't know your name. You seem like a respectable person. Why the hell are you sitting so close to me? Do I smell that good? Why are you sitting so close to me? There's 20 chairs here. Why are you sitting so close to me? You could have sat anywhere. Nobody sat you here. What are you doing? What's wrong with you? But I didn't say that. I didn't say anything. I never turned toward him. He never turned toward me. Why are you sitting so close to me then? What is it? Why do you need a human warm body near you? And why me? Don't I exude some type of odor of unsociability? Don't I reek of don't sit close to me-ish? Can't you just like look at me and say, there's a guy that doesn't want anybody sitting near him? Because I thought I gave that out. I thought I gave out a vibe 24/7 for people not to get too close to me. You know, some people have this perimeter around them where, you know, don't put your face in my face. Stay a good 3 feet away from me. I'd like people to be 3 miles away from me. I guess my radius is quite extreme. So I have lunch, and through the whole lunch, I am very uncomfortable. I don't know why this guy is sitting so close to me. He doesn't know me. He's just, I just don't understand. To this day, I don't get it. And I so much felt like tapping him on the shoulder and saying, could you explain to me, sir, I don't know who you are or what your background is or what traumas you faced in high school or whatever. But why did you choose to sit so close to me? Why? Do you love me without even knowing me? Why? What is it about you? You look so normal. Or is it me? Because I don't look normal. So maybe that goes hand in hand. Thank you for letting me get through this little psychology situation. I appreciate it. Now let's start the show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Go sit somewhere else.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Very good.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Hope you're having a wonderful time so far. I will entertain you. I will dress up in little clown clothes, and I will squirt seltzer bottles in my own face and do anything I can to entertain you. I'll have trained dogs jump through a hoop of fire, if that's what you wish. But only for this period of time. Otherwise, not. You certainly pay enough money to listen to this. I'm sorry, I couldn't hold that in. I'm going to start charging for this someday. You're going to start paying heavy. You owe me. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Well, no, welcome back. I just started the show and then began talking even more. Yeah, that guy bothered me, that restaurant guy. Meh. I went to Vermont yesterday. I stayed overnight at a very nice Vermont inn. They call it an inn. It's not a hotel in Vermont. They're inns. I-N-N. That's what they call them. Vermont, there's really no reason for Vermont, actually. There is no purpose to Vermont. I don't know why it's there, to be honest with you. I guess they had to fill in the gap between New York and New Hampshire, so they came up with Vermont. But to be honest with you, there's kind of no point to it. It's a nice, nice state, very wide open spaces. Beautiful trees, beautiful land, rolling hills, nice streams and things like that. Very nice to look at, but that's a lot of property for all that. So I'm driving up there, and as soon as I got into Vermont, I noticed immediately that there's nothing to do. There's just nothing to do in Vermont. I think Vermont is a place where New Yorkers go if they want to feel like they're in the country. That's what they made Vermont for. There's nothing in it. Well, there's two things in Vermont and two things only, and that is syrup and cheese. Beyond that, not a lot going on in Vermont. So I stayed at this Vermont Inn, which was very nice, actually. It's a place called the Castle Inn or something like that. And one of the buildings indeed looks like a castle where there's a very fancy restaurant. They charge way too much money, and I'm kind of mad that I ate there. But nonetheless, a nice hotel. And you look out the window, and there's some mountains and some beautiful fall foliage. And then you look away from the window, and you say to yourself, okay, now what? In the lobby of this inn, they have pamphlets to area attractions. Every area attraction either has cheese or syrup. There's really nothing else. There are country stores and a lot of places that sell pumpkins and a lot of places to get syrup and cheese. Beyond that, to be honest with you, I didn't see one supermarket in the whole damn state. I did see a lot of country stores and people pulling up to these country stores, just like in Hooterville. Do you remember Petticoat Junction and Green Acres, where there was a general store, and the people that lived in this Hooterville town would go to the general store, and Sam Drucker was the guy that ran the store, and you would go up there and you say, I need some soap, and I need a loofah, and I need some glue, and he would say, all right, there it is, Zeke, that'll be $5, and that's about it. And then you go home and you stare at the walls more. I don't understand the Vermont thing. Nothing's near it. Nothing should be near it. Nothing is near it. I don't know what you do all day. Speaking of lunch, which I like to have every once in a while in a restaurant, there are no restaurants in Vermont that are open at noon unless it's a Subway. Everything is only open at night for like 90 minutes. I don't know. I would go crazy in Vermont. I would start running naked down the middle of the street, yelling, "I'm crazy! There's nothing to do, and it's driving me crazy." Very strange. So, guess what I bought when I went to Vermont? Yeah, syrup. I don't even use syrup. I don't eat French toast or pancakes or waffles. They're like carb bread city. I don't use syrup. Is just like liquid sugar. It's liquid sugar. But I bought a little container of it because there was nothing else to do. I also bought a wedge of cheese, Vermont sharp cheddar. What makes Vermont sharp cheddar different than Wisconsin sharp cheddar? It has the word Vermont in it. So, I bought a wedge of cheese. I'm going to eat the wedge of cheese and not go to the bathroom for probably a week, because cheese binds you up. That's it. It took me 3 hours to get up there from the Boston area, 3 hours to get home, and the only thing I have to show for it is a credit card where I spent way too much money for no reason, and a wedge of cheese, and a small container of syrup. I guess the memories will live on. So for about a week or two, people will say, Ron, what'd you do recently? What'd you do last week? I went to Vermont. Wow, what'd you do in Vermont? I bought a wedge of cheese and a little container of syrup. 6 hours. And I stayed in an inn where the only product in the inn was pamphlets. There was a breakfast place about a mile from the inn, and it was called Mom's Apple Pie. That was the name of the place. One might surmise what their star food product was at this breakfast place. It was apple pie. They also have omelets, syrup, and cheese. So I went to this place for breakfast, and all they had was syrup, cheese, and apple pie. And it was kind of like also a bakery, so they would have, you know, a muffin or something. And it was very crowded. There were a lot of people there sitting there eating apple pie with syrup on it with a little wedge of cheese. And I thought, your lives are so limited. Do you ever eat anything else but this crap? Is this what you do? You know, before I went to Vermont, I said to myself, wouldn't it be nice to move to Vermont where I could I looked online. I goggled something. Google, whatever the fuck it is. And you can get, like, for like $400,000, you can get a very nice house sitting on about 20 acres of land. Do you even know what 20 acres of land looks like? It's massive. You can live like 20 acres of land and a nice house in Vermont. I figured, why don't I go there? And I quickly realized I can't live there because I can't eat that much cheese. It's impossible. So I'm driving down the road with my girl. And she says, oh my God, look, there's a covered bridge. And on the other side of the covered bridge, there's like this big open meadow and beautiful trees, and the leaves are turning. Please go over the covered bridge. We can take a picture, and I'll get my camera right here, and we'll take a beautiful picture. So we go over the covered bridge, and on the other side of the bridge is a giant sign that says private property, no trespassing. And we're looking, my God, this is like 40 acres of land, and somebody owns it, and now we're trespassing on their beautiful pasture. It's amazing to me. Then I thought, all right, if I had a house on 20 acres of land, what the hell am I going to do all day? Just sit in my house, look out the window and say, I own 20 acres. Now what do I do? And then I started thinking, there's no supermarkets. There's no Lowe's Home Improvement. There's no movie theaters. There's nothing here. There's nothing. What if I'm sick and I have to go to the doctor or to a hospital? Where's the nearest hospital? 7 hours away? How could anybody live here? I think you have to say to yourself, I'm going to buy a house on 20 acres of land, I'm going to move in, and then I'm going to die. Because that's the only activity you can do. Eat cheese. Pour syrup on a pancake, and then die. There are no other options. That's it. Ron, you're getting all crazy because you took a trip that didn't work out. Leave the people in Vermont alone. All right, I will. I can't help it. When I don't understand something, I go a little bit crazy. I don't know. Maybe I'm not sophisticated enough, or maybe I'm too sophisticated.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
Hi, I'm Steve Miller. I've been a trial lawyer in Florida and Massachusetts since 1985. If you and your spouse hate each other like poison and want to get out of the hellhole you call a marriage, you've come to the right place. Look, you can waste your money screwing around with some paper pusher paralegal type, give thousands of dollars to some piece of crap three-piece suit downtown, blow your brains out trying to figure out why you wasted 25 bucks on the crappy forms you bought from the illiterate boob at the courthouse, or do what I say and do it now. We know what we're doing here. Look at this website, a work of art. Here's the story. Pay us a little and we get you a lot. Don't worry about the details. We'll take care of business and let you know when to crack open the champagne. Okay, time to move on. Go to the Get the Divorce page in the upper right corner, pay up, and you're on your way to getting rid of that vermin you call a spouse. We're here to help. Divorce EZ, a Florida law firm.
Do you like ham? Comes from a pig. Well, we're going to speak to Pat Baird. She's a food expert and an author. She loves ham. I thought this would probably be interesting to talk to her today, since I'm talking about cheese as well. And ham and cheese, they kind of go together. Ham's become a real deal with the pork and stuff. Let's speak to Pat.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Pat, how are you?
I'm well. It's good to be with you.
You too. Pat Baird is a registered dietitian and nutritionist, and she's written some books here, Quick Harvest, The Pyramid Cookbook, Be Good to Your Gut, and Cooking with Mickey and Friends. And we're talking about some good eating ideas here. Is this geared toward, our conversation geared toward kids, or can I participate too?
Well, it's geared toward kids, but you know, what's good for kids is good for adults, especially when you're talking about nutrition.
Absolutely. And we're thinking outside of the lunchbox, which is a cute little phrase there.
Yes.
The lunchbox has just been kind of standard for decades and decades and decades. And now I guess we're talking about some nutritional ideas that are actually quite interesting and fun.
We are. You know, lunchboxes can get boring, yeah, a little bit monotonous. And then what happens is kids don't eat them. And deli ham is just a great way to perk them up again and get kids excited about lunches. So I've got some really easy ideas.
Okay.
And we're looking at deli ham because it has such a great nutrition profile. A 2-ounce serving has got only 60 calories, but 10 grams of protein, about 1 to 2 grams of fat, along with lots of vitamins and minerals. So with this being fall, we have a harvest ham sandwich. And here we just put a little bit of apple butter on some bread and then top it with deli ham, mm-hmm, Havarti cheese, and some sliced apples. Yeah. And, you know, the kids enjoy certainly the flavor of ham, but also the sweetness of the apples, and the cheese brings in some calcium.
Yeah.
So overall, you've got a nice sandwich for them.
That's not so bad. And I guess there are various types of deli hams too, right?
There are. You can, many of them have flavorings.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're so widely available and so easy. You can step up to the deli counter and have them sliced,
yeah,
to order. Or you can just go to the meat case. And then you come home and you can make a luau ham sandwich.
Yeah.
And this is made on Hawaiian bread with a little bit of barbecue
sauce,
ham,
yeah,
and a slice of pineapple.
Very sweet. Actually,
Ron,
see,
it's also,
no, I was going to say that, you know, there you can get ham that don't have, like, tons of nitrates or salt and stuff. There's all types of varieties of hams that are actually quite nutritional.
There are. And as I said, you know, that 2-ounce serving,
yeah,
only has,
it's not bad,
60 calories,
yeah,
and you can pair it up.
Yeah.
Ham pinwheels are another,
yes,
idea,
yes,
because these are almost like eating finger food, and
yes,
you put a little bit of light cream cheese on a tortilla with some ham, mustard, and lettuce.
Yeah.
Roll it up, cut it in 4 pieces, perfect for kids, and actually, I happen to be a real fan of pinwheels myself.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to eat those. I can eat 75 of them, but you shouldn't eat so many.
No, a little more moderation.
A little more moderation. That's my problem, yeah. Is the moderation part, especially when it's good tasting like that. Ham's come a long way. You know, the pork used to have a bad rap to it. And now it's like totally turned around. Now it's nutritional, the protein, all that, and it's really it's got a whole new deal going for it.
Pork is a very wholesome food.
Yeah.
You know, farmers are really dedicated to what they do, and they keep their farms in tip-top condition, and just the way the pigs are raised and processed, and we now really can enjoy ham cooked or from the deli department in a sandwich, and pair it up to really have some exciting flavors that are going to excite kids.
You know, it's interesting, just talking about pork in general, I used to have like veal parmesan all the time. I like Italian food. And
yes.
And that kind of thing. And then I was like, I got bored with it. And then someone turned me on to a thin sliced pork parmesan, and it was so tender. And now that's my thing. And I can't find it anywhere in a restaurant, so I make it at home. But I mean, that's incredible. That's wonderful.
Okay. Well, you know what? You and I are going to have to start a campaign to every time we go to an Italian restaurant. I've had that pork parmesan using cutlets.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to start asking for them. And we're going to keep making these great sandwiches for kids. One other one I'd like to tell you about is the ham jam sandwich. And this is a new take because it uses some raspberry jam or sugar-free raspberry jam with deli ham and a slice of cheese. You know, this is kind of familiar to kids, but it's just got a new twist on it.
Nice. So it's like a ham and cheese gourmet style.
Yes, it is. And for kids, when you put jam on something, that is definitely gourmet.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know what else, Pat, is that When you get outside of the box, so to speak, kids start experimenting with different tastes. And a lot of them will grow up to be cooking themselves, obviously, male and female. And then they'll experiment with little tastes themselves. They'll have appreciation of food and all that. And I think that that's it's both a creative aspect of life, and it's also a, it's
fun. Completely agree with you, and I think that that's a really good point. Is that when you start to introduce just gradually these little flavor changes in foods that are familiar with them, they're going to be more open to experimenting.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, Ron, the other thing that happens is that, like with these sandwiches that just look so attractive, the pinwheels or the ham jam, I think it also encourages them to cook because all of these ham sandwiches are so easy to make that kids are going to want to participate in this.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Encourage their palate with new flavors and then encourage them for food preparation.
I can imagine being in school and opening up my lunchbox, and the kid next to me has a bologna sandwich on white bread, and I've got myself one of these pinwheels going on with the jam and the ham, and the other kid's going to say, "Hey, where'd you buy that?" "My mom made it." I mean,
that's right. Or I made it.
I made it. There you go. All right, yes.
There you go.
Even better.
Yeah.
Okay. Reader books, they're fun. Pat, how can we, first of all, follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter, at PatBairdRD, and you can find all of these yummy sandwiches at pork.org, and then just look for Deli Ham.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to eat some food right now.
Good. Make it a ham pinwheel.
I shall do so. Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
Have a good day.
Okay. Yep. Bye-bye. Do you know anybody else that can spend an entire half hour talking about ham? cheese, and syrup. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't. And if you ever see me sitting alone in a restaurant, don't sit next to me. Just please don't. If you can at all avoid it. Otherwise, I'm a perfectly wonderful person. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. And in the interim, until we meet again the next weekday that rolls around, I wish you peace. Go have some ham and cheese or something, will you? Tasty, tasty stuff. It's tasty. It's good stuff.